Hi, it's Colleen O'Brien for Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. I can't believe I waited so long to have LASIK. 2018 is your year for LASIK. Don't wait another year. For a limited time, receive $1,000 off your LASIK procedure. Go online to schedule your free consultation.
It is not just Facebook. This is Seattle's Morning News. And here's somebody who decided to find out not just what data Facebook has on him, but Google's data and LinkedIn's data and Amazon's data. His name is Dylan Curran. He is located in Ireland. You are a web developer there, Dylan?
Now I'm a privacy consultant, so my title's changed. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, very good. So you decided to go into Google and download what they had on you. First of all, I didn't realize that. I know Facebook has that feature, but Google has it too. And give us an idea for how much data Google had on you.
Right, so you can download your archive at google.com/takeout, T-A-K-E-O-U-T. I encourage everyone to go and do that. And I downloaded a file which is about 5.5 gigabytes. That translates to roughly 3 million Word documents for anyone who isn't really good with tech. And for what they got, it was mostly, it's a long list, but it was all of the images and files I've ever downloaded, all of my emails, including the spam and deleted ones, had my location mapped out for the last 6 years, pretty much every single day and every trip and place I've ever been, had all of my Google Calendar events, it had all of my Google Fit information, which meant all my steps taken, my workouts, my yoga, it had all my Google Photos, and that was taken automatically. That's including metadata of when and where the pictures were taken. And then had a couple of other things that were just innocuous enough.
Well, I mean, they have to do that, though, right? I mean, if you upload stuff to Google, they're gonna have it.
Right. So that's typically the case. Although the issue really was how long they were keeping the information and to what levels they were going. So, for instance, with like my location mapped out every day for the last 6 years, I did not know that was really happening. So I was unaware. If you go into Google Maps, they ask for your location and you need to give your location in order to map out the distance between your location and your destination, right, which is fine. But I didn't realize that they were mapping it every single time you turn on your phone. So if you flick up on your phone to check a notification, it logs your location, including the time that it was that you were at that place. And then it'll also, if you travel somewhere, it'll say how you got there and how long it took. So that those kind of levels of information being collected is not really necessary. And I think it's above the public awareness.
You can control that, though, right? Doesn't Apple have a control? I know my iPhone has a control saying, do you want to share data with Google Maps or only when the thing is open?
Yeah, you can. Although the issue really is that you can't. If you want to use Google Maps, you actually have to give your location. So there's no option. Like you have to give your location to Google Maps in order to use it. And a lot of these issues are mostly prevalent on Android, which does make up a huge percentage of the market. There's roughly 2 billion Android phones on the market. So the issue is not exclusive to Android, but the issues are prevalent across both Apple, Microsoft, and Google.
Doesn't Google let you erase all that data if you want to?
Yeah, you can go to google.com/myactivity, and then you can clear all that data. Although the issue really is that a lot of people think that information is gone when they clear their browsing history or their search history from their browser. But that issue is the information is actually collected separately. So it's in a separate database that Google stores. So if you use Google Incognito and you are browsing whenever you want to browse in Google Incognito, it says it's private browsing, which means it doesn't collect the information. But it doesn't collect the information locally, but it does collect it at Google. So the way I'll explain that is that your wife can't see what you're doing, but Google can.
Google can.
And yeah, but Google can. So like whatever you're doing on that private browsing, I don't care. But just be aware that that is being stored separately.
Right. Now, can you delete that from Google's server as well or just from your own computer?
Yeah, you can also delete that from the server. So if you go into google.com/myactivity and then you could just go to delete activity, I think it's called, then you can delete that stuff too. But that's no one's really aware of that. Yeah. Like no one knows.
Well, they are now, Dylan. We've put it out there, so they know it now. You can delete it from, well, and let me ask you this, because this is what Mark Zuckerberg was saying in his testimony. You can do the same thing with Facebook. You can, number one, download what they have on you so you can read it, which I did. I was targeted by, I think, 287 different sponsors, most of them who I had never heard of. But you can also delete it all. And he promises, and he was asked this by a senator, when you say delete, do you mean it is, in fact, gone from your server? And he said, yes. Do you believe him?
That's categorically wrong, because there's a lot of evidence when people go in and delete their Facebook account permanently, then they come back in 2 years and the information is still there. So I don't know what kind of roundabout way of deleting they're doing, but it doesn't seem to be working.
All right, so where do you think this whole controversy over Facebook is going? Do you think there's going to be a real change here? Because I may, as I understand it, in the EU, which is what you're a part of, there's going to be a new privacy rule imposed with huge fines if people, if a web company takes your data without your affirmative consent, correct?
Yeah, so the GDPR instills that there's a couple of things that web companies now have to do for EU citizens, and that is there's no more terms and conditions stuff. Like, you have to accept terms and conditions, but now you have to also ask for explicit consent. So, for instance, with the Google collecting my location every day, they would have to ask for explicit consent to do that. They can't just put it in the terms and conditions and then wait for me to click accept. They have to actually ask me specifically to do the tasks. And if they're found to not do that, then they get fined up to 4% of their global turnover or 20 million euro, whichever is higher. And there's a couple of other things they have to fulfill as well. They have to give very explicit reasons why they need to hold on to information. And then also, if an EU citizen requests for any of the information to be deleted, the companies have to comply or they'll get hit with that fine from before. So that does have a few ramifications for the companies, where now they have to be way more responsible with users' information. But the thing is, Google and Facebook have already come out and said that they're not going to instill GDPR laws for US citizens. So this only applies for EU citizens. So in America, the same practices will be done. It's just for EU citizens where it'll change.
Yeah, well, that's going to be very hard for them to argue, because if they can do it for the EU, there's no reason they couldn't just do it here, right?
Oh, there's no argument whatsoever. It would be very easy. Like, they're already making all of these things available to the EU. So it's just, yeah, it's as simple almost as copying and pasting. So the reason that they're not going to hemorrhage their ways of making money unless they absolutely have to. So there's no reason for them to do it in the US. Like, there's absolutely no reason to, because this entire fallout of the last 2 weeks of privacy, that's just going to go away within, I'd say, a week or two. Like, I give another week or two, until all the testimonies from Mark Zuckerberg and all that stuff's gone away, once that reporting's kind of done, it'll fade away like the 24-hour news cycle always does. So they're just waiting for this to fall out, blow away, and then things will just go back to being the same.
This is what you Europeans think about our short-term memory, huh?
No, this isn't actually exclusive to America. This is very much present in the EU as well. So, like, one of the powers that the reason the EU can do these kind of things is because they actually, because the American companies aren't actually bringing their income through the EU. So these, they don't mind kind of, you know, throwing their weight about, because they don't, there's not much of a risk. Like, Google and Facebook have to actually operate here. So the EU doesn't care. They know that. While with the US, like, Google and Facebook could pretty much leave whenever they want and go to another country and operate from there. So it's a really tricky territory for the US to implement any laws for fear of these kind of huge companies just disappearing.
I see. All right. So one of the things that came up in the Mark Zuckerberg hearing was this idea of tracking pixels. Now, we're all familiar with the idea of cookies, which are little codes stored in your computer that have your help you log on to websites and can remind you what you bought last time, stuff like that. Explain the tracking pixels and how they work.
So that's called Facebook Pixel, which is, it's essentially like a, it's just tracking software that Facebook uses on different websites. So you have, so if you have an online store, and you have to go to Facebook, and then you can install the Facebook Pixel, and that'll give you lots and lots of information about what, say, certain Facebook users are doing when they come onto your site. So what they're buying, where they're clicking, what they're doing after, what they're doing before, you know, whether they came from one of your Facebook posts or an external website. So this information is just, it's more information harvesting that Facebook use to greater target you with advertising. So, like, if they know that you're going to go on to Amazon and buy lots of cups, then they'll just start showing you more cups Facebook pages. It'll be that kind of thing. That's just the entire basis for it. That, and a lot of web, like, Google has the exact same thing with Google AdSense and Google AdWords, so they, and Google Analytics. So the exact same software exists for other companies as well.
And this is operating even if your Facebook page is not up on your computer at the time?
Yep, completely. They'll kind of like figure out who you are roughly from, like, your location. So, like, if so my name is Lucurran and I'm browsing from my PC in Waterford, Ireland, but I'm not logged in to my Facebook account. They'll know that I always log into my Facebook from this device. So then I'll just figure out that I'm Dylan Curran, because this device always logs into Dylan Curran. it's a very easy way of figuring out those kind of things. Like, and it's kind of annoying, because even if you delete your Facebook, they'll still be able to figure out who you are. Mm.
Is this, though, any different than what my bank does? Because when I think about it, my bank knows how much money I have, how often I draw on my account. They have all my charge card records, so they know where I go on a daily basis and how much I spend and what I buy and what my tastes are. I mean, and we've lived with this for decades.
Yeah, so it is virtually the same thing. That's kind of where the rise of, say, Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies have really come from, is that we aren't really comfortable. A lot of people, anyway, aren't really comfortable with the fact that banks have so much access to information about your life. Because you're right, like, they do know. They know virtually your life just from what you're buying, where you're going, where you're spending your card, how much money is coming into, so they know your income and that kind of stuff. And then they're also able to detect, you know, like, if there's any fraud going on in your account and all that kind of stuff. So that's very much where the cryptocurrency and Bitcoin phase came from. It's just because people aren't comfortable with it. So these things all tie in together, where I feel like a lot of people are just starting to think that they're not comfortable with so many companies knowing their entire identity. And that's why these issues keep arising over and over and over again. I feel like most people have an integral need for privacy and dignity, but it's just so inconvenient to go to the extents you need to actually hide your identity online or in the real world, that not a lot of people are willing to do it.
Right. And I think a lot of us kind of like it when we're ordering something and the computer automatically fills in our name, address, and charge card number. That saves you having to type all that stuff. My iPhone now tells me the moment I get into my car, without me doing anything, that it's going to take me 18 minutes to get home and traffic is light. Because it obviously is, you know, tracking where I am, and it knows where I'm going to drive. And it's right. But I'm trying to figure out whether to be creeped out by this, or whether to say, hey, that's pretty cool. I mean, how would you foresee all this stuff being used to harm people? I'm familiar with planning stories, you know, for presidential campaigns, but frankly, I mean, if you weren't smart enough to see through some of those phony stories, then you probably have no business voting to begin with anyway. And I look at the sheer amount of data. I mean, how much data, whatever you mentioned, however many hundreds of pages were stored on you alone, physically, no human being could go through that and track you. And why would they want to anyway, except to, you know, display ads on your computer, which we're used to now.
Right. So you're right. Like, it is pretty cool. It is very convenient. So that's where Facebook and Google and all these kind of companies operate, is they want to make things as convenient for you as possible. But the tricky issue really is that we don't know what lies in the future. So, for instance, did we think 4 years ago that Donald Trump would be president? Anyone who says they did and they bet on it, they're a rich, rich man.
Yes.
So the world is constantly changing. Like, we have no idea where things are going. And Google and Facebook are consistently storing all of this information about roughly half the population of the planet. So, like, if we have no idea where things are going, and these are just two companies who have really, they have no responsibility except for profits to keep this kind of information secure. And, you know, like, they could get fined by a couple of institutions, but, you know, in the long run, that doesn't really matter. So it's very, very, very dangerous that they have all of this information. And if there were, for instance, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but this is always a possibility, if there was an authoritarian government in the future who wanted to access all this information, what's to really stop them from just marching into the company and saying, give me access
to
your servers?
Nothing. Yes, if you're going to evoke the Nazi scenario, this would be tailor-made for that, because then the SS wouldn't have to use papers or checkpoints or anything. They could just type in a few parameters and march directly to your house and, you know, take you off to the camps. But I would hope that no nation would make that mistake again, right?
Well, China's already in the process of doing that. So China doesn't allow Facebook or Google or any of these companies to operate in China. What they do instead is they build their own alternatives to the software and then make the Chinese population use them. And they're already doing the exact dystopian scenarios that we all envision. So, you know, they're monitoring people's searches, they're monitoring their browsing history, they're monitoring their Facebook friends and what they're posting, what their opinions are, and very often imprisoning them for having those kind of opinions. And China has the biggest population on the planet, and they're becoming one of the biggest superpowers on the planet. So if China's already doing this kind of thing, then why is it so impossible to think that this could happen to us? Just because we're in the West and we think we're so fantastic, that's very temporary. And in the West, we've only been so fantastic for, you know, maybe like 150 years, which isn't a long time on the scale of things. So it's these scenarios are entirely possible. Are they being a little bit alarmist and a little bit conspiracy theorist? Probably, but I'd rather be a little bit paranoid for the future than just think, nah, everything's fine. Two corporations with every single half of the population's like information is totally fine. I don't think that's being way too gratifying for them.
Yeah. That's probably being a little bit naive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So it's just that's my personal opinion. So that's, I don't like using that scenario, but I feel like that's the only sort of scenario that people can really envision where they get a little bit scared by it.
Yeah. Dylan Curran, he writes for The Guardian at TheGuardian.com. His piece is called "Are You Ready? This Is All the Data Facebook and Google Have on You." And I guess I should call you a security expert now?
Yeah, the title doesn't really matter at this stage.
You're hiding out in Southern Ireland, so you're probably safe. It's the rest of us that are in trouble.
I'm in a cave, so I'm fine.
Dylan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.